Quite refreshing, those snowflakes on the screen there. Thanks, Ryan. Morning. All right? Some of you. Let me read from Mark chapter 10. The verses will be on the screen for you here. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Shh. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Just want to simply pick a few simple thoughts out of this incredible story. I got a call a few days ago. One of them sad calls when a guy who I've known for probably 40 years has been promoted to his eternal reward, just a couple of months younger than I am. And straight away, your mind goes back when you hear stuff like that. I'd not seen him for a little while of some of the encounters we'd had together. And I was reminded of way back when I first ever visited the church that he's been part of for many years over in Wensbury, just near IKEA there. And traveling down, as I did, you know, week in, week out to many places across the country with my big AA route map. Yeah? Anybody not written? No. And I loved it because, you know, you get to a place and you'd be looking. Some churches were obvious. Some were down a back street and very hard to find. And I can remember getting to nearby Dave's church for the first time, visit a few times after that. And, you know, you wind your window down and somebody sticks their head in a bit suspiciously and you go, "I'm looking for whatever it is." And then the words you don't want to hear, "You're miles away, mate." Or a common one was, when all the traveling that we were doing then was, you know, you'd wind the window down. It's often the case to just try and find the actual location of the place. And it's amazing that you're just asking, "How do I get to this place? I'm somewhere nearby." And many people wanted to share their political views. So you'd get you used to be able to go down the main street until Labour got into power. You know, now you've got to go. "I just want to know where I'm going, mate." You know, not particularly what vote you've cast recently or what implications it's had. I say that just by way of introduction because these days, the need to remember places and routes clearly disappears with the power of Google and sat-nav. We don't need to identify those landmarks particularly anymore. We just listen to the beautiful voice that's coming out and follow her or his instructions and hopefully it will get us to the place. I hope something of that isn't inflicting itself upon my spiritual journey. I don't want to forget the landmarks, the pointers that actually are familiar to me, but they're not so familiar now because I'm just looking at a screen and suddenly they've not got the significance that they had. They're not quite the route map that I enjoyed for all those years. Brought this. I'm a bit of a highlighter king. I've got all the colours under the sun in my desk. And I don't, if you're like this, I'm not the greatest at reading books and then, you know, I can sort of quote you the whole chapter. Sometimes you've got to, if you're one of them people like me, you've got to read back. So my trusty highlighter. Hence the reason why you've got it on the screen here. Put it through certain phrases, certain quotes, certain things that people say in books. And I know then that I don't have to just skim back and, was it page 13, 18? You know, somewhere in there it's marked so I can go back and reference the point and remember exactly what it was. And out of this story of Bartimaeus, what I want to do really is just highlight for each one of us some things that may have become landmarks historically, but somewhere in the journey of life, and the spirituality that becomes very comfortable and easy. We've missed the highlighter. We've missed the landmark. We're just listening to everything around us, almost a superficial sense of spirituality. So we've got this incredible story. I've got just three reminders. Good, you know, good preaching, three reminders. And these are them from this great story. Number one, very easy, really. Jesus is present. Just try and picture, if you're not familiar with this story of Bartimaeus, just take note of the fact that this was a blind man. Could not see, but had got very familiar to using all the other senses other than his sight to navigate the world around him. But I think in the story that we read here, somebody dropped a clanger. Because they clearly, as we'll get into a minute, didn't want disruption at this point. And if you don't want disruption, then you don't announce what's happening to a person who could benefit from what's around. He's blind, so he can't see, but he can hear this commotion. Jesus is leaving town with his disciples. There's a lot of noise, a lot of hullabaloo. People are talking, chatting, all sorts of those city noises going on. And I don't know, it doesn't tell us, but, you know, we can assume quite rightly that he's like, Oi, Mark, what's going on, mate? Oh, it's just Jesus of Nazareth in town. Again, let's sort of go and speculate a little bit because we don't get the gaps filled in here. Let's assume that Bartimaeus somehow in his journey through the senses other than his sight knew about this Jesus of Nazareth. Because he doesn't ask the question, does he? He doesn't sort of hover around and go, so who the heck is he? Obviously famous, obviously popular. There's a lot of people. I can just sense it around me. His immediate reaction is, here's a man who I can benefit from. Get away, you lot. I want him. I want him nearby. Jesus is present and I want him near to me. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. They let him know. What a daft thing to do if you don't want disruption. Jesus is present. The reminder, the highlight is that's the promise of God that we live by. Let me remind you. Let me give you some landmarks. Jeremiah 31, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more on tablets of stone. Matthew 28, New Testament, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is present. Psalm 139, the psalmist puts it another way. He says, if I go up to the heavens or make my bed in the depths, you are there. Hebrews 13, often quoted, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And then the promise of Jesus, John 14, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to disciples who are wondering where this leaves them if he's talking about going. To be with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is present. And in that, don't be redirected. Verse 48, shh, they told him to be quiet. Why would they discourage him? I think this is probably one of the many, but one of the best examples of why Jesus constantly was asking the disciples if they got hold. You know, it's almost like exam time. The exam is to sort of prove to the lecturer that you've taken in all this last year of whatever. And every so often, Jesus would pull the disciples up and he'd verbally just drop an exam in front of them. Like, have you got hold of this? And clearly at this point, they hadn't. That's why they would discourage this guy. Be quiet, shut up. Why on this planet would they discourage him? Was there a hint in their response that Jesus wasn't interested in your imperfection? Ouch. Don't ever be redirected. I don't know if you've ever talked to people and you've invited them to church or you've shared something of your story or whatever it might be, but something to do with the faith that resides within them. And I've met a few people who, you know, I'm not good enough for God. Like the disciples, they've not got it, have they? That's not the idea. Jesus is fully interested, fully engaged, fully welcoming whatever the imperfection in my life and in your life might be. However dark the stain that with so many washes it still seemed to not be able to come off. The haunting memories of what it was that happened all those years ago that still plays its little game with me now and then. The family that, the job that, the people that let me down. Imperfections all the way along the route. Don't let anybody ever tell you to shut up. Sit down, be quiet. In fact, let me give you the reminder. Jesus is present, don't be redirected. Here's the reminder. Talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's somebody who is talking to themselves more than listening to themselves. If you let the listening, hey, there's another journey for us, another morning. Your mind will just produce questions and doubts like rabbits. And it's that old adage of what's true and what's truth. The truth is that Jesus is present. The truth is that we do not want to be redirected and don't redirect anybody. Jesus is present, don't be redirected. And the obvious one here, mercy is our cry. That's what he shouted out twice, have mercy on me. I think he was very intentional. I think he used his words carefully. Here was a guy who had learned to communicate, you know, in a very specific way. His blindness obviously affected so much of the way that he operated. He's heard about Jesus. He's made some sort of connection. And in his cry to the Christ, he uses very specific words. God, have mercy on me. I think he understood Jesus probably more than anybody there. And that's probably a bit condemning of the disciples. They were getting there. But here's a man who had digested it, chewed it around, and he got hold of it. Fully understood what he was saying. Why? Because he understood, you know, that old language that justice is getting what we deserve, mercy is not getting what we deserve, grace is getting what we don't deserve. And so he goes right into the middle line. Dictionary definition of mercy: compassion shown, especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power. That's how this relationship works. I've not done some deal with God and he's gone, you're okay actually, Steve. Welcome in. Like all in my imperfection, my sinful life, The only thing that I offer to him is the sin that made his sacrifice possible that we've celebrated. And so I cry with Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. Have compassion. The one who is greater than me, I've got nothing to barter with other than to cry out to you. And that's what I do. And here's a bit of any of you that go back a few years in choruses that we used to sing. His mercies are new. Some of you older than you look. Botox works, doesn't it, really? His mercies are new and fresh every morning. The compassion of God is not just some old historical, you know, study point. It's something that today, wherever you are, whatever your situation, we call out to the mercy of God. We don't get redirected. And we know for sure that Jesus is present. James, gang. There's a great song. Many of you have not sung it here before, but you may know it. It's become a bit of a number one in the charts. If you follow your YouTube charts. And it's part of the great story of God. Christ wanting to be known. And the song's title is I Speak Jesus. And the language of this song, I just think, is just very, very powerful. If we're focusing on this guy who stopped and healed, and Bartimaeus walked away with his life transformed. All the senses in place. Imagine what that felt like. To suddenly walk away and be able to see and look and understand the world from a different dimension than what he'd done for however many years he'd been alive. And that's the relationship we're in. That's the mercy of God that comes to us. However long we've been alive, we encountered Jesus. And suddenly life has new dimensions to it that we didn't even realize. So stand with me if you would. Let's sing this song as a declaration, not just for your life, for your family, but it spreads right out to the streets. The people that came to the coffee bar yesterday morning and are going to come over the next weeks. The people that are going to come on Alpha in October. The people yet to find Christ. There's a few of them. And so we are going to speak Jesus to them. Just get into this song and let's just lift it as an anthem to God. Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and